was actually asked last week to try to give some guidelines as to how one should go about pursuing a appropriate, or I should say an appropriate, mate. And this week's parasha really provides the perfect springboard for that discussion. And rather than tell you my own thoughts on the matter, I thought we would take a look at what some of the Rishonim have to say about various ideas in the parasha, and perhaps through that we could come to a basic approach to dating and to choice of spouses. Mate. Yes.
Just for the record, I don't think we should follow.
What I mean is, I don't mean the specific tests that were necessarily applied, but what should one be looking for in a prospective mate? So I'm going to start with this week's parasha is obviously Chayei Sarah. I'm going to start with something that doesn't appear in the commentaries to the Psukim, but instead in the Drashos of the Ran, the Sermons of the Ran collection. I believe we have a copy here in the Beis Medrash as well. I wasn't sure, I brought my own. In the fifth Drasha, in this particular edition, and I would say at this point this is the standard edition of the Drashos HaRan, on page Samach Ches, the Ran writes like this: Vim hayos lavon avi Rachel v'leya ovid avodah zara. Even given the fact that Lavan, the father of Rachel and Leah, obviously we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here. We're already now talking about whose wives?
Akos.
Exactly. Nonetheless, Bachar Yitzchak. Yitzchak, who we learned about in this week's parasha, Yitzchak felt that that was an appropriate place to look for a shidduch for his son, for Yaakov. He instructs his family members, go specifically to that place to choose a spouse. Don't go to the Benos Canaan. Why? Go to the house of Laban. Let's go to the house of Laban. That tamlakolze ki im hayosa adam b'chirei or b'chiri, should be b'chiri b'masav. Person is autonomous, has free choice. V'harashus nesuna biyado, and a person has the wherewithal and the capacity livchor ezeder shiyotze, to choose whichever path in life he so desires. K'maymer hakasa, like it says in the pasuk, re'ei nesati lefanecha hayom es achayim es hatov v'bacharta v'chayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, listen, I set before you the various paths. Hopefully you'll choose the one that is right and good. Umisha yikvar, the person that will be a kofar. Ze yikvar b'chol Torah kula. The person will deny this path, the person who opts not to accept the life of the good and the just and the right, is essentially turning his back on the Torah itself. Lo daish yakra Torah. It's not only that he's arguing on the Torah and he's denying certain principles of the Torah, but he's in fact ignoring, as it were, a certain aspect of observable science, observable teva, something that is clear to the eye to see. Ki mevuar niglashet teva hametzias al shlosha tevayim mechuyav efshar nimna eshadvarim efshariim. There's nothing that's going to force a person to do X or to do Y. Person has the rishus, but there are certain principles, there are certain rules that are going to dictate how a person will turn out, so to speak. Let me expound on that. Ve'im kolze lo yuchal likfor b'shum ponim shlo yu la'adam hachanos nimshachos Achar hamezeg l'ktsas midos tovos oros. A person cannot deny that while a person is given free choice and an individual can turn out good or bad based on the decisions that he or she makes, with all of that, there is what we'll call also a predisposition that a person has based on the following. A person is going to be nimshach, a person is going to be drawn after certain state, right, to follow good midos or bad midos. A person is going to be predisposed to having good midos or bad midos. Ve'elu ha'techunos nafshios, these what we'll call personal traits, these character traits. Nimshachos u'mishtalshalos me'avos labonim. There is a certain, we'll call it, DNA-like substance, which is passed from father to son. When really what we're talking about is netios. We're talking about tendencies. Tendencies, proclivities, general...
like stuff they pick up in the house.
General character traits. M'nei shehem tivios. And since these things are natural, nimshachos achra mezeg lases hachono. They basically are prepared for a person. The way is paved for an individual by the behavior of his parents. V'mlo yachrichu. It's true that the Benos Kanan were steeped in bad midos, bad traits, bad character traits. For that reason, the Avos opted not to choose spouses from those people. They were just not menschlich. They had bad midos. And instead to cling to choose a spouse from a place where the people had better midos, even though they were idolatrous, even though these people had false ideas. The community from which they were being drawn, the homes from which they were being taken, the communities in which they lived were ones that were involved in avodah zarah. Nonetheless, the avos felt that choosing a spouse from such a place was better than choosing a person from a place that had bad midos, or from a community or a family that had bad midos. Let me just continue a little bit, and you'll see why. Because bad midos, bad character traits, bad personality flaws, in many ways, go from father to son, from generation to generation. It's like a disease. It's like a genetic disease. Just like, well, if a person has Tay-Sachs or any of these types of genetic problems, they pass from one generation to the next. So too, says the Ran, that if a family is afflicted with a certain bad midah, very often, it's not always the case, but very often you'll see those midos pass from one generation to the next. L'mashal, sometimes you'll see a certain person, an older person, we'll call him the father, who is a big balgaiva. He's a big balgaiva. He's very haughty, carries himself in a way which we feel is perhaps not appropriate. What happens? Very often, not always, very often, you see that same arrogance, that same haughtiness being expressed by his child. Why? Because his child is raised in that home. His child sees the way the father struts around, the way the father conducts himself. On some level, that's passed along to the son. And the Ran says, that's like a chali haguf. Ufisha mitzos v'averos ha'tor al shnei ponem, mehem yasu roshem beguf, u'benefesh yachad, mehem shol yasu roshem rak benefesh levad. V'aroshem ahu, shia benefesh bovad, ha'roshem ahu im ha'yosu rak mazik ma'od, einenu mis'abed al abonim. The person, let's say, has a false idea, or he's just not so perfected in his intellect, that's not necessarily going to be passed along to his child. His child still has the ability to make a good decision and to use his mind to seek out the truth. That's true. It might be more difficult if a person is raised in a home where, you know, no one cares about Torah and mitzvot. It might be a little bit harder for that child to grow up and say, you know what, I think that I want to follow a life of Torah and mitzvot. But it's much harder for a person who is brought up with bad midos, to break those bad midos according to the Rambam, because they actually become part of his being, part of his essence. It's almost to the point where he can't transcend that essence. Give me one more second. Ki ein lo nafshos yachas ukor v'klal, av ha'averos asher yushimu v'yishnu l'ro ha'nefesh v'ha'gof, v'hechach yavor rushumam el ha'mishtal shal b'mehem, v'asher yushimu l'ro ha'nefesh v'ha'gof, heim ha'aver sheyesh lam mavo b'techunos nafshios. Kisina, the kina, if a person is raised just not to keep Shabbos, so a person could, you know, break away from that and keep the Shabbos. A person is raised not to keep kosher, you could move away from that and learn that keeping kosher is proper and you'll keep kosher. But if a person is indoctrinated with bad midos, with hatred, with jealousy, with gaiva, these types of things become ingrained in the person and are very hard for a person to step away from. V'achzorios, rechilos, v'domein. Ki elu yasu roshem. They make almost an indelible mark, indelible impression, ra, benefesh, on the person's soul, black mark. Mitzad sheheim avera, it's a sin, but it's also a bad midah. It's a bad tachuna, it's a bad trait. Tachuna ra, umavadza yasu roshem ra beguf, al ha'derach she'avar. Then he goes on to discuss how this works. I don't want to get into his detailed discussion of it, but suffice it to say that he feels that these things actually are passed from one to another through subsequent generations. He says, I'm skipping, V'im heyos lavon oved avodah zarah, v'yischayiv shiyat teva tse'atzav nimshach acharav klal. Right? A father makes a certain choice that he wants to be an Oved Avodah Zarah. It doesn't necessarily mean that the child's going to be an Avodah Zarah. It's more difficult for the child to be an individual in some regard, but not to the same extent that it is difficult for the child to break away from the midos that were ingrained in him. Ki hadavar hayosa roi li shamimenu hu mashiyesh lo mavo b'tikunos nafshios. Again, I skipped a little bit, but Iran is clearly of the opinion that these types of things, these character flaws, these personality traits, which are bad, they become like an extension of the person, part of the person. They become ingrained in the person, and those are much harder to break away from than simply false ideas. I know there are a lot of comments, so I'll take some of the comments and possibly some of the questions.
Story to illustrate that.
Again, I want to stress that. You're not saying impossible, but again, if a person has a choice to look for a spouse in a place where there's a predisposition for bad midos or a predisposition just for bad ideas, Ron's saying that the others opted to go for places where they just had bad ideas. Bad idea, you could teach someone to...
I mean, they say Avram says to Yitzchak and Yitzchak says to Yaakov, don't go to... what's it called?
Canaan. Yeah, that's what the Ron's talking about. But he's saying the reason why was not because of the philosophical flaws. It was because of their bad midos.
That
bad interpersonal relationship.
Enemies, no?
I'm telling you what he's explaining. He explained it because they were shakua, you know, they were steeped in bad midos, in bad traits, in false ways of looking at one another, of interacting with one another, flawed ways of looking at society, at looking at themselves, right? He's not saying it's because they had bad ideas or they didn't come from yichus, right? Again, I'm not trying to suggest that it would be impossible for a person like that to overcome bad midos, but think about it yourself.
It's difficult.
Think about yourself. You have a mida that you're trying to correct, you're trying to break, whatever it is. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. Okay, so you learn something that's wrong. Okay, you could now learn the right thing and now you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. But if it's something that's... it's almost like part of your nature, much more difficult. And I don't need to give people their own personal examples, but I'm sure everyone has an example. Everyone has an example. Something that's part of you, you say, ah, it's hard for me to change that, right? People use that term. It's like second nature.
Mm-hmm.
trying to get. I'm trying.
A nice pithy saying, as Stephen Covey says.
Stephen Covey, you want to just remind the rest of the uninitiated?
The author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Seven Habits of
Highly Effective People.
What happened?
I didn't hear that.
The Stephen Covey, the author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Fiona's guide to life.
My English guide to
life. Yeah, the English guide. Right, right.
Yeah, it says,
general
studies. It says a sin of the heart is worse than a sin of the mind. Because a sin of the mind you can correct with a bit of knowledge, but a sin of the heart is far more difficult.
Exactly.
Well,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
What does it mean, the sin of the heart?
Just take something very practical. Let's say a person all his life, you know, the guy's in his 30s, and all his life he did something because he thought the halacha was a certain way. Right? And then you show him that the halacha is not that way. It's not that hard for him to... you know, make the correction. If he was doing it because he thought that he was what he was doing was proper, and now you show him that he made a mistake, okay, so correct it. He wants to do the right thing. But if you have a guy who was doing something wrong because it's part of his nature, and now you tell him, listen, you really shouldn't be doing that, don't you think that's much harder for him to break? It's part of who he is. And that's part of his identity. It's part of his sense of self. No? I don't know why he's smirking.
I know. I mean...
You can't relate to because you don't have any of these types of flaws.
I know.
But if you try to, like, I see, that's, I'm saying you're struggling. But if you look at someone that has these types of things,
right. I guess, I
like, they almost can't help themselves. They almost can't help themselves. You ever meet a guy like a pathological liar?
Right.
Do you ever meet a guy like that?
Yeah.
He's constantly just, you know, he's making stuff up. Uh-huh. You know, he's just making, you know, like, that he's making up.
Like whatever he says, it's like, oh yeah, that's
like any child.
Exactly. There's no way that's true. Uh-huh. You almost come to accept that the guy just can't help himself, okay. Right? Right. I'm not condoning if someone does that, but I'm saying you almost accept that that's just part of how the guy's wired. And you find it humorous, you find it sad, but that's much harder to stop and to unlearn and to change than it is if something is thought out and now you are caused to realize that you made an error. That's what the Ran is saying, that the aversion to the women from Canaan was not because they had bad ideas or because they had the wrong notion of God or worship of God, or that might have all been true, but they preferred to go to the house of Lavan, to choose women from a house of idolatry, as opposed to going to a place where they were involved in bad midos, because of this idea, because it was much harder to correct those flaws than it is to teach someone that they made a mistake. What's so humorous?
No, just recapping what you said.
Which about that you don't have anything like that.
Awesome. so this is that.
Can you imagine you tell your kid, listen, do me a favor, don't go, I don't know, I don't want to say something that's going to come back to haunt me, but don't go over there. Don't go over there. Go to Vatican. You know? Don't go there. Go choose a girl from Vatican City. Right? Why? Because at least they're ethical, moral people. They might have crazy ideas, right? But you're not gonna send them someplace else where they're totally running amok and the society is totally upside down. But Louis, it's sort of that's the case. I'm just saying, hypothetical. Let's say that's the case. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine giving a guy advice like that? That's basically what the others did. So that's what the Ron's saying. That's why. And this is not something that he says alone. If you look, you had a comment or. Sorry. Yeah, Avi's making a good point. A very perfected person, a person who's introspective, a person who's intellectually honest, yeah, of course, could change their midos. But that's very difficult. That's very difficult. So if you're gonna make a choice now, you know, all things being equal, right? You're gonna get involved in a shidduch. Which shidduch are you gonna get involved in? The girl that just has to, you know, work on her mind, or the girl's gotta work on her midos? Maybe neither one is ideal, but I'm saying if you had to choose, right, midos are very important. So I would say, you're asking me what a person should be looking in, you know, in a girl and her family, midos are very important. And even if you don't see certain things manifest themselves in the person right now, but you see it in the family, chances are, like the Ron's saying, that it's there. It's there maybe in a latent way, but it's there. And it could come up later. So there is some truth that when you marry, it's not some truth, there's a lot of truth, that when you're marrying a girl, you're not just marrying her, you're marrying her family. So usually we take that to mean, well, you have to be able to get along with the family, and, you know, you have to interact with the family. But I would say on a deeper level, you have to understand that the girl is a product of her family. And whatever you see about the family is probably going to be true on some level of the girl. Don't think that you're going to marry a girl and you're going to change her. If you think that she has bad midos, that's not a good shidduch. You're not going to be able to come into someone's life and change their way of looking at the world and change their essence. More than that, you're not going to be able to take someone and rip them away from their family. If that's your goal, then that's, you're fighting a losing battle, and that's not the right approach to be taking. Maybe that shidduch is better for someone else. That's not for you. Okay, but I want to point out that this is not something that I think was unique to the Ran. You see that this is sort of thematic in the parsha. If you look, for example, at the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar in Perek Chaf Daled, Pasuk Gimel. Okay, so if you look at the Kli Yakar, Perek Chaf Daled, Pasuk Gimel. So Avram tells his loyal servant basically that he wants him to go out and find the wife for Yitzhak, and he tells him in Pasuk Gimel, basically, I want you to swear to me that you're not going to seek out a wife for Yitzhak from the Benos Canaan. So Kli Yakar is bothered by that. Why was it so significant that he wanted Eliezer to basically make a shvua, to make a swear? So Kli Yakar asks this question. It says like this. Mestamas siva shelo yischatim b'menos ha'knani pen yuma mimaseihem. Obviously, the reason why Avram was so insistent that Eliezer not look for a wife for Yitzchak among the Benos Kanaan is because he felt that they would adversely influence him. You have a Benos Kanaan who comes from a bad place, bad family, bad friends, bad everything. Now you're going to marry into that? It's not going to be good for you. Just going to be bad. There's nothing good going to come from that. So he says, if that's the case, so why then feel that taking a wife from the house of Lavan and Besuel is going to be any better? So I'm going to skip a little bit. And he says like this, that there's a chash, v'hu sheteva ha'ovos nimshach gam labanim. Like the Ran said, that the nature or the character of a father generally passes along to his child, to his children. V'zeh dafka ba'osan averos ha'boyim mipa'as ha'chomer ba'achilo v'zima v'kilis Kina, the kol hamidos haros, hanitlin b'chomer. Nigoyim elu mispashtim mehaavos labanim v'toloseyim. Kayotze b'hem. Avah ha'od avodazara, davar atoli b'sichlo shel adam. Avodazara, which is a function of the way a person looks at things, the way a person understands things, the way a person approaches something philosophically. Eino mispashet me'avos ubanim. That doesn't necessarily flow from father to son, just like the Ran. But midos that come from the physicality of a person, those things do indeed pass from one to the other. That's essentially the same idea as the Ran. Aval ha'amuna hitluya b'sichlo shel adam, v'hei HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosein bo neshama v'seichel lami yispashitzem me'avos labanim. In other words, every person has a mind, every person has a tzelem elokim that he could use to pursue the truth, so that they weren't so worried about. They had a certain sense of confidence that Yitzchak and later Yaakov, they'd make the right choices, and maybe that the, like you said before, Yona, that the women also would ultimately come to learn the right way. Al-Kain ha-yamarchik ha-knani shayu shitufei zima. But those that were totally steeped in terrible activities and terrible midos, that's different. That was part of the Chomer Ha'adam, and that would pass from one to the other. Okay. But when it came to Lavan and Besuel, he says they only had a problem of Avodah Zarah. Only. It sounds comical. It sounds comical to say, but when you think about it, It's not just the lesser of two evils. It's that one is something that's easily correctable. And since it's a function of the Tzelem Kim, which a person has, that we're not so worried about.
Yeah, but there's some sort of...
Let's turn to the Rebbeinu Bechai. Rebbeinu Bechai was a Rishon, yes. So the Rebbeinu Bechai was a Talmud of the Rashba. And you find a lot of similarities between his commentary and that of the Ramban in general, not just in, you know, this particular instance, more in general. So if you look at, again, at the same Pasuk, Perchav Dalad, Pasuk Gimel, big word? Chaftal Gimel Rabbeinu Bechai. And again, he starts with the same premise. His hero Beshua Shlo Yikach Isha Lebno Minos Kenan Hazera Hamikulkal. Says he made him swear. Avram made Eliezer swear not to take a son, not to take a wife for a son from the Benos Kenan, which was a Zera Makulkal. It was basically a tainted gene pool. Right? Lefi Sheha Isha Muchenes Lepuronos. If a woman who is endowed with a certain nature, right, is given the opportunity, she'll draw the man over to her side. Ki kein also saw im kochai, like we find by Chava, that she swayed Adam to sin. Kamosha yadua mi inyan Shlomo, lova Shlomo ben Noshim Nochrios. You find by Shlomo Melech that he also was, Chazal say, in some way adversely influenced by the multitude of wives that he took. Pasuk says as much. Al Kain, Hukva bi Yisrael, Minhag Likro Parshazu Lachasan Biyom Chasunasa. There's a certain minhag to read this passage, this portion, in certain communities on the day of Chasun, on the, I guess, what we would call the Shabbos of the Ofruf. Svartim in particular have this meaning. I think they read the Targum. They call it Avraham Siv, because it says in the Targum, Avraham Siv, that Avraham Zakin Baba Yomim. In the Targum it's titled Avraham Siv. So they read those psukim. There are different ways of doing it. We in the Ashkenazi community, we don't have this custom. Lahaz Kira Am. So why would they read this to a chasun, basically, on the day of his chasuna? And again, as I said, practically, the way it's done in most communities that have this minhag, they do it on the Shabbos, either before or after. Lahazkir am shi yizahar b'nisuav. To basically remind all the young men of marriageable age, you have to be careful when choosing a spouse. V'shelo yikach isha l'shem yofi. And you shouldn't just choose a wife because she's attractive. And then quotes a pasuk, shekar chen v'hevel yofi. And not because she comes from a family that has money. Ki hamamon. Also, Yaselo, Kenofim, Kinesher, Ya'uf HaShemayim. It's to be like something that has wings. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's not something that has any kind of long-lasting permanence. And not L'shem Srorus. A person shouldn't marry into a family because it's an aristocratic family. It's a Choshev family. It's a family that has Yichus. Now again, all these things are important. I'm not saying that these things aren't factors that a person shouldn't consider. None of these should be the primary factors. Appearance, it's important. Money is certainly important. Yichus is important. Lefishu nichshav anenash b'kol achas ve'achas mishlosh kavanos eilek. Because a person, if he'll just marry for one of those things, it's going to be his undoing. Aval yitztarach shitiyah kavanos l'shem shemayim. His overarching approach to choosing a shidduch should be L'shem Shemayim. He wants to find a spouse that's going to help him lead a life of Torah and mitzvahs. V'shiyadabek b'mishpacha haguna, and he should marry into a proper family. L'fi shehabonim, why is all this important? Because it's a reality that habonim nimshachim b'midoseyem b'teva achar mishpacha sa'im. The mother, in many ways, is going to be the one to provide the genetic makeup of the child.
Character makeup.
Yeah. Like the Ron said, it's, you know, genetic material. Same thing. The personality, the character traits are gonna flow in the same way as a disease would. Ki kein teva hayayin, Leo's taimel nimshach achra kli asher amad besocho. Like wine, takes on the taste of the vessel from which it is poured, so too a child, that's right, sherry casks. That's why you don't put wine in a golden vessel, because it doesn't taste good, right? Metal, even if you drink wine out of a becher, sometimes real wine connoisseurs don't like wine out of a becher, because it has a metallic taste. The ode, Yesh Baparsha Zu Azhar La'adam, there's a warning, there's an admonition over here for a person, Sheyisa Isha Mibinos Mishpachto Shidabik Bekrovosov Kikin Asa Avram. Okay, a person should try to keep it in the family, so to speak. In the interest of time, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit towards the end of this discussion. Bekvar Himshil Razal HaMishpachos Hadveko Zuim Zu Shekula Matimos B'mayla Shava. Two families that are making a shidduch and they're appropriate for one another. Chazal already gave the mashal of Inve HaGefen, Inve HaGefen. Right, it's a popular adage to sing at Ofra for Sheva Brachos. Mashal Inve HaGefen, Inve HaGefen, Gefen Dover Noe Umiskabel. Ukisha Achas Haguna V'Achas Lokein. But when one is proper and one is not proper, then the mashal is not to Inve HaGefen, Inve HaGefen, but instead it is to something less than that, Inve HaGefen, Inve HaSneh, something that is Sneh, like the bush, the burning bush was called a Sneh. Dover Ka'or, Eino Miskavel, it's not a good thing, it's not a good shidduch, it's not going to be Ola Yafa. Alkein Roy La'odam Shisa Isha L'Shem Shemayim, therefore again, the Rabbeinu Bechai warns, when you're choosing a wife, it should be L'Shem Shemayim. HaTovim Yidabku B'Tovim, people that are like-minded and both looking to develop and to grow in their avodas Hashem, they should cling together. V'haroyim lo yuchlu hidabek rakim haroyim. But those that are looking just for a life of evil, a life of physicality, they can't help but cling together. They can't make a good shidduch with someone who's on a different path in life. Ki kol echad holech achar mino v'hadomelo. Each person is going to seek out the appropriate mate. Sharei atovim meusim im harayim, because you put a tzaddik together with a rasha, it's like oil and water. Alkein tavo hamiriva b'chiburam kein hashalom eskayim el kishem is davgim kol echav echad el mino. You can only have shalom v'shalva, you can only have a tranquil and peaceful marriage, you can only have real shalom bayis when the two partners are basically that, partners of one another in the same mission to live a life of Torah mitzvos and to be mekayim neratzon Hashem. But when a person is looking at the marriage with different view than his mate or than her mate, that marriage unfortunately is not going to be one that is successful. We'll just conclude again. This message is, like I said, it's repeated over and over throughout the commentaries in the parasha. There's a very nice statement or discussion analysis. I remember hearing this for the first time, actually, when I was still quite young. Because the question really, I thought the question was a very good question, even then. Even before I was really thinking about getting married, I thought this was an interesting question. So in Parshas Chayisara, the very end of Shishi, it says that Yitzchak takes Rivka as a wife. Va'yivieha Yitzchak ha'ohela Sara imo. Vayikach es Rivka vatehilo liisha vaya va ye e vaye e haveha vayinachem Yitzchak achere imo. Yitzchak takes Rivka as a wife, brings her into the tent of Rivka, his mother, and then what? And then he loved her.
Right, it wasn't like that. He
doesn't say he loved her, so he married her. It says he married, he took his wife, brought her into his mother's tent, they moved in, and then he loved her. What kind of business is that? Right? Any normal person wouldn't think that this would be the normal mahalach to take. So listen to what he says. I'm just going to read his lashon. It really speaks for itself. He says, this too is a characteristic that, thank God, has not vanished from among the descendants of Abraham, Sarah, and Yitzchak and Rivka. This is Rabbeinu Hirsch, Rabbi Simson Raphael Hirsch. The more she became his wife, the more he loved her. Like this marriage of the first Jewish son, most Jewish marriages, are contracted not on the basis of passion, but on the strength of reason and judgment. Parents and relatives consider whether two young people are suited to each other. Therefore, their love increases as they come to know each other. Meaning, if the shidduch is a proper one, and it was thought out, and they said these two people really belong together, they're like-minded, they share common goal, they share common aspirations, they're going to recognize that in each other, and they're going to come to love each other more and more. Most non-Jewish marriages, he says, are made on the basis of what they call love, quote-unquote. But we need only glance at the novelistic depictions taken from life, and we immediately see that the vast gulf in the non-Jewish world between the love of the partners before marriage and what happens afterward. How dull and empty everything seems after marriage. How different from what the two partners had imagined beforehand. This sort of quote-unquote love is blind. Each step into the future brings new disillusionment. Not so is Jewish marriage, of which it says, Vayikach es Rivka, Vatehilo li'isha, Va Ye E Ha Veha. Here, the wedding is not the culmination, but the beginning of true love. And I think that's an important thing to think about as you consider the Ran, as you consider the Rabbeinu B'chai, and you consider the Kli Yakar, to consider this also. That when you find someone that you feel is going to be a good partner, you have to know that the more you get to know that person and the more time you spend with that person as a spouse and the more that you work together, your relationship is going to intensify and to increase. And every day you're going to recognize that you made it a good choice. And that's why the love is going to grow. Of course you're going to love that person. You're going to say, wow, look what a great person I'm married to. Look what a partner I have. It's not something that's just a passing fancy that's going to wane or that you're going to outgrow. If it was done properly, if it was done with the proper ideals in mind. And again, I just want to stress that when the Rabbeinu B'chai says that you shouldn't choose based on mamon or yofi or srara or mashpacha, I'm not suggesting that those things aren't important, but those things have to certainly take a back seat to what's the overall and all-important principle, and that is a person who has good midos and a person who shares your ideals in terms of being an Oved Hashem. And once you satisfy those two requirements, obviously it goes without saying that there are personality things that have to be in sync. You can have a woman who's a tzaddikus, but she doesn't fit with your personality. You can't live with someone like that. And you could have two tzaddikim, but if they don't share certain things in common and their personalities are in opposite, they're obviously not going to be able to live together. And I'm assuming that all goes without saying. So just in terms of what one should look for, obviously you should be looking for good midos, you should be looking for a personality that is compatible with your own, and then all those other things should be taken into account as well. Okay, so I wish everyone hatzlacha in their pursuit of proper shidduchim, and you should all be zochet to find good shidduchim and to build good marriages and good homes. Okay, we'll stop here. And amen. Yes, please, amen.